we have made mistakes, but that doesn't make us bad people. It makes us human. And what I believe makes people good people is learning from those and doing differently. I mean,
welcome to On the Grow, where the journey is just as important as the destination. The podcast where we embark on the exciting journey of intentional living within the whirlwind of busy family life. Join us, Cyrus and Michelle, as we navigate the chaos with laughter, love, and a shared commitment to fostering growth. So whether you're a seasoned parent or just starting your family journey, join us each week for candid conversations, heartwarming anecdotes, and valuable insights. Let's grow together, laugh together, and build a community that celebrates intentional living.
Hi, everyone. Today, I just wanted to do a quick little solo cast. I'm in my car, but, you know, moms are the number one multitaskers. We can seemingly do it all, and sometimes that is a great thing, and sometimes it is to our detriment, and we are on the edge of burnout and overwhelm and exhaustion. And I have certainly been there, and I try really hard to, implement a lot of the things that we've talked about here on our show about boundaries and delegation and advocating for your needs to be met with your partner and all of these great things. But we're also human, and there are times where they go to the back of our mind and we forget to implement them, or life gets busy, or there is a tragedy or something pressing or urgent on our minds. So that's normal. That's human. It's not like we have it all figured out. We just try to share some things that have helped us throughout this journey struggle a little less. And that's the goal. I know that that's come up a lot lately, like with my daughter and with my kids. They're both kind of inner perfectionists. I can see that in them. They really want, you know, kids, it's innate in them to want to please their parents, because for them it's, you know, primal and survival. That's how they'll be loved, and that's how they'll get their needs met and all of these things. But I'm constantly reminding them, because of my own experience with perfectionism that I've had to unlearn, I can see them, you know, almost desperately needing to make sure everything is done right. And I can see that internal pressure on themselves. And I'm like reminding them all the time, no one is perfect. No one is going to do everything right all the time or every day. What the goal is here is to just try your best and to have more good choices than bad. And that's it. And one bad choice doesn't make it a bad day. One bad decision doesn't make it a bad life. Like we've shared with our kids, we've gotten in trouble, my husband and I, with the law. We have made mistakes, but that doesn't make us bad people. It makes us human. And what I believe makes people good people is learning from those and doing differently. I mean, that's the only way we can learn. I remind them of these things with when they saw their little brother learning to walk or learning to talk or do anything. I'm like, if he doesn't try and make mistakes, he will never learn. That is the only way we can learn. So we are going to make mistakes. So that was something that's come up a lot lately in my house, especially as we start summer. And they're, you know, for my older daughter and even for my son who was doing preschool, they're home with me more now. So it's, I'm seeing all these things pop up, and they're very sensitive, intuitive, empathic kids like myself. So I understand them. I'm sure that's why God gave them to me, right? We all understand our children, and we are the best parents for our children. So I always say I am an expert in parenting my children, just in the way that you are an expert in parenting your children. I simply like to share stuff that has helped me with my kids, and if it can help anyone else, tailor this like message or these ideas to your family, because you are the expert in your household. And we've all gone through certain things that help us relate in different ways to our kids and things we prioritize. But anyways, a thing that I'm always fearful of, I guess, is sharing messages or like wisdoms, I guess, not that we're wise, but things that we've learned through struggle or through hardships, and truly, we both just want to help. So I'm always afraid that it's going to come across as preachy, or we're the experts, or we know it all, and that is certainly not the case. We are humans that struggle and fail and are imperfect, as we all are, and we are simply experts in raising our children, like you are the experts in raising yours. You always know best. Use discernment. And really, I just want to... Mental health is so important to me. It's been important to me personally my whole life. It's always been prevalent in my family. And so more than anything, I just like to share our struggles so that others know that they're not alone in feeling whatever they're going through, and really just to provide a safe place where people can feel seen and heard, and we can learn together and be there for one another. So really the goal here is to help. I just wanted to start out with that. And then let me dive back into guilt. Guilt is something that, as a recovering perfectionist, or should I say work in progress perfectionist, it is something I always struggle with. And, you know, I think some people don't even realize that they struggle with it, or they don't have a name for it, or they don't recognize that it is guilt. But I think in some way, shape, or form, we've all experienced guilt, parental guilt, in some way, shape, or form. So I really wanted to dive a little bit deeper into that topic today. All right, so I wanted to jump back into guilt. Talking about that mom guilt, it's something I think we've all experienced, like I mentioned at one point. And a lot of times, we don't have the time in our day as moms to sit down and really take a minute and figure out where it's coming from. But really, I think it would be really helpful if we all did. So, for instance, I shared on my Instagram a while ago that at end of school season, well, depending when you're listening to this, could be many months ago. But anyways, I get so distracted easily. I think my spirit animal is a squirrel because I'm always like, ah. All right, so end of school season, I totally forgot to do the last day of school photo and that comparison photo to see the grow up, the glow up, and had some guilt around that. Like, as I'm looking through all of my, you know, feeds, social media feeds, and seeing that. So what I know about guilt is that it's a psychological thing, of course. So what I talked about on my social media post was that through the psychology courses and trainings I've done for life coaching and working through a lot of these things, is that there is a psychological, like, innate human survival instinct and primal need for us to be liked and fit in by the collective and our tribe. Like in the caveman days, it was our survival depended on being liked and fitting in these groups. So it's natural that our brain wants to keep us safe by fitting in and assimilating with our surroundings. So naturally, my brain was like, oh my gosh, why didn't you do this thing too? Like, you're not going to fit in. You're not going to be the same. You're going to be ostracized, kicked out. This threatens your survival. So that's kind of where my brain started to go as I'm scrolling through my feed and seeing all the last day photos. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't do this. And then I took a second to sit with it, because we really have to feel our emotions. Like, I'm so big on emotional intelligence, that EQ, is it EQ? Whatever, emotional intelligence. Yeah, something like that. Like, they call it something. Anyways, fact check that later. But I'm big into that in my household, being able to identify and heal and feel emotions is like something that comes very easy to me. I took an embodiment course. It's all about kind of like transmuting different feelings and things like that. I'm super fascinated by it. I think that like our emotions are the foundation of everything in our life, and it really is the ultimate power to be able to identify what we're feeling and communicate that, and also help others do the same. So anyways, I sat with it for a second, as I was like feeling that urgency to like take a photo and that guilt was popping up, and I'm like, okay, this doesn't even matter to me. Like, and I know it's not going to matter to my daughter or my kids someday. They're never going to be like, oh my gosh, mom, you never took a last day of first grade picture. Like, my life is ruined. And I know that sounds silly because, like, obviously, but we do end up having guilt about silly little things. When if we really took even just 1 minute, like set a timer, when something comes up that you feel bad about, set a timer to feel it. And I know that sounds silly, but we are so busy in our daily lives. Like I was talking to another mom recently. Oh, she said, oh yeah, maybe I actually did feel sad about that. Or no, I know what it was. She was sharing how she went to her kid's preschool graduation party or graduation ceremony, and all of a sudden tears started flooding, and she's like, I didn't even know I was sad. And that is sad to me because we are so busy in our lives, the urgency, the rat race, the busyness, that we don't even have time to feel. So as silly as it sounds, sometimes we need to block everything else out and set a 1 minute timer on our phone to really feel. Like, it's a simple place to start. I know that's what meditation is all about, to really sit with yourself, see how you're feeling, be in the present, that mindfulness. It really is life-changing, but I know for a lot of people it sounds like, no, I don't have 10 minutes in my day to feel. Like, are you kidding me? So, maybe you have a minute. Maybe you have a minute in the car to turn the radio off if you have no kids in the car and just tune in, check in. How are you feeling about a certain situation? Or take a minute in the bathroom before bed, like whenever, you know, whenever you can sneak it in. Sometimes I take a minute when I pull into the garage before I'm found out and the kids open up the door, but really taking a moment to check in with how you feel. So that was the first thing I did when the guilt popped up, was, okay, calm down, like remind myself that this is okay. I'm not being chased by a bear, like the feeling in my body, like that, you know, fight or flight. I am safe. I can take a break, deep breath, figure out if this matters to me or this is like a societal thing that actually doesn't matter to me, but I feel like I should be doing. And that was the case. I took a minute to feel that and I walked myself through. I created this little acronym and I talked about this in my Instagram story and my Instagram post, but I made this SWIFT acronym, and I'm big into acronyms because it's easier for me to remember things. I think it's like a nice little brain tool. Like, we all remember PEMDAS from math, and so it's SWIFT. So what it stands for, the S is for situation. Like, what was happening when the mom guilt showed up? For me, like, I was talking about, like, you know, everyone else is posting it, so I felt like it was something that I should have been doing, and I didn't, and I failed. The W stands for what. Like, what is the should there? What is that quote-unquote rule that I think I'm breaking here? And that rule was that you had to take a first and last day of school photo, which is silly. Then the I in SWIFT is, did I come up with this rule? Like, is this something that is really important to me? Where is this coming from? If it is something I came up with, what can I do to align myself more closely with our personal family values in this situation? Or if it's not, move down to the F in SWIFT, which is from where? Like, what is this external source? Where did it come from? And does it even fit in with your own values or your family values and beliefs? The final letter, T in SWIFT, stands for then what? Like, what do I do right now, even if I still have guilt around it? So for me, I walked around it. No, this is a society thing. We've started doing this first and last day of school picture thing. I don't remember doing it. You know, it came externally. And honestly, as far as values and beliefs, it's not super important. You know, dads would not even take a whole photo all school year. So it wasn't too important to us. Didn't matter to my kids. She had no idea it was even a thing. They don't even like posing for pictures. So it kind of fizzled out there. I was like, okay, I don't need to feel guilty about this. And I was able to move on, which sounds simple, But there were times in my life where this guilt was so overwhelming that I could not do that. I could not move on. I would feel guilty and I wouldn't even give myself time to process that. And then it would follow me around and then play into other things in my life. And, you know, like it would be that underlying feeling there. And then something, I would do something else and feel more guilt. And then it would make that small guilt grow into this bigger guilt. And it just became this bigger thing. So if we let things fester versus feeling them and healing them and moving on, you know, we are able to carry on and things don't pack on top of each other and be this whole overwhelming, overloaded feeling. We're able to just kind of like stay at a more level, a more, how would I put this? A more like neutral, a more, you know, calm pace of things. We're not letting things escalate. We're not letting things build up and stack on top of each other. We're feeling things as they come. We're working through them. And so we stay at this maintainable level. You know, we talk about this nervous system regulation, and I feel like things like this, like feeling your emotions and all of these things play into that. We have to try to stay regulated and handle things as they come, put out these little fires so it doesn't turn into a big fire. And for me, guilt was a big thing that followed me around all the time, especially in the depths of postpartum and all these other things. So that's a little acronym that I use. I'll put it down in the show notes below, but it's something that had helped me when I walked through my own guilt process. I believe we all feel guilt, and I feel like sometimes it's just nice to know that other people feel it too about silly little things. But I think if we all took the time to really sit with our feelings around certain things, you know, I feel like there's a lot of pressure in society. And social media has made things a lot harder for modern day parents, because when our parents were parenting, there was no social media. You know, they took maybe a Polaroid photo and put it right into their family yearbook or whatever, or they developed film, but we didn't all see it. It wasn't posted. It wasn't public knowledge. We had no idea what people were doing, but our age of social media is great in some ways to stay connected, but that's a whole nother topic, because staying connected online isn't the same as personal connection, one-on-one, face-to-face community and connection, but it has made it harder. So parenting with social media just displays all those things that we can feel guilty about. And so this is a really nice tool, and just to remind you that we all feel guilt. We all are feeling this pressure to keep up. And, you know, the truth is that the likelihood is a lot of those photos that you see the first and the last day, it's probably a lot of stressed out moms feeling the guilt of that they need to do this first and last day photo thing. And they're rushing around in the morning and they've rushed through breakfast and it's their kid's last day. And then they're like, hurry up, do your hair, go over there, take a picture, stand by the tree, smile, do it, you know. And then that's their morning. And so their last day of school, instead of being a slow, joyful, connected time, is this urgent, pressure-filled expectation of capturing this photo to capture the memory that actually isn't a good memory, because it was an anxious morning. It was a busy morning. The kid didn't want to pose for the photo. It's a forced smile, a forced photo, or probably won't even make it into a photo album, because most of us don't keep actual photo albums or scrapbooks anymore. So just remember that when we're looking through social media. And if that was your morning, I'm not saying that to shame you of like you did something wrong by, you know, the need to do this photo or whatever. All I'm saying is that let's really tune into what is the priority, what is the value, what is the purpose that we're doing all of this. And let's remember like what's important. At the end of the day, for me, it's feelings. Feelings are what's important. How did they feel that last morning? What are they going to remember about this last morning? Are they going to remember that they were rushed and they had to get this picture and they were annoyed about it? Are they going to, you know, think about what you remembered as a kid on your first or last day of school? So I feel like sometimes we end up getting priorities mixed around a little bit. Our intentions are wonderful. Our intentions are that we love our kids so much and we want them to have the best childhood and we want them to remember how lovely school was and we want all these things, and those are fantastic, beautiful intentions. But if it comes at the cost of a peaceful, slow morning with smiles and joy and happiness, then maybe it's not worth it. Then maybe keeping up with that expectation or feeling guilty about not doing it or whatever isn't worth it. So sometimes we need to take time to come back to what's important. Is it about the appearance or is it about the feeling and the memory? Sometimes I feel like as a society and a culture, as everything is displayed and put out there, like an art show, that everything has become so externally and extrinsically focused. And that is what we're making sure is beautiful, when really it's what needs to be on the inside. Like, this is another just kind of crazy example, but I know for me, I've always struggled with my skin. And you're like, where is this coming into place? Stay with me here. But I've always struggled with my skin. And I used to search and search and search for the makeup and spend hundreds of dollars on makeup to try to help disguise my skin and make it look good. But really, like, the problem was, is skin and the quality of your skin and the way that your face and the appearance looks outwardly starts internally, meaning I had to watch, I ended up seeing like a cosmetologist, dermatologist, and she's like, you know, you can have the worst makeup, but if you put it on good skin, it's still going to look okay. You can have the best makeup, but if you put it on bad skin, it's not going to look okay. Meaning everything has to start from inside. Like, and that's like beauty, you know, beauty is from the inside out. If you're a beautiful person, but you have an ugly heart and an ugly soul, well, then that's going to trump that. So sometimes we have to start on the inside and work our way out. And I think that we try to do that in our home, work on what's important to us is the memories and the feelings. So I make that the focus. And if external stuff comes afterwards and we get a photo, or if it's just an in-the-moment photo or a 2 days later photo, that's okay. Because my focus is the memory and the moment and the feeling rather than the external. And I know that everyone has the same motive. We all love our kids. Everyone does. I think that we've just sometimes forgotten, or we've gotten so caught up in this rat race of keeping up with the Joneses and the neighbors and the social media and the need to compete, and that it like feels like survival. Like, we need to keep, we want them to fit in. We want them to feel loved and important and significant and, you know, the sense of belonging. And that's all great. They do need that. But that doesn't really come from a photo or from keeping up with some of these societal expectations that are just made up and are just, you know, recently as the age of technology and social media has taken over. So I just like wish we could go back to the 90s, when things were simple, when there wasn't, you know, photos, and it was just the feeling, and things were nice, when there wasn't as much comparison. And I've just been feeling like it's been heavy on my heart lately, a lot of the comparison, the competitiveness in adulthood, in parenthood, and we're rushing kids to be mini adults, and we're rushing their childhood, when really childhood is this beautiful time for them. And a lot of us are sometimes parenting from a place of wanting to relive our own childhood because it felt rushed, or maybe because it was such a great time that we want to relive it, because now we're in this rat race of a world, the keeping up, the competitiveness, that we're like, we want to go back. We want to go back to childhood when things were wonderful, so we live vicariously through them. But with that, sometimes we put some pressure on them. Like, maybe we loved playing football, so we're going to put a lot of pressure on our kids to play football because we love that and we know that they might love that. But is that what they want? You know? And I feel like as much as we're all grown up, but inside we're still like, there's still these elements of us, like our personality of like our inner child and our inner teenager. And there's these still portions of us that still just want to be playful and have fun. And so let's not forget that, and let's not rush our kids into a mini adulthood and in the realm of parent guilt and mom guilt in what seems like the rush to keep up and fit in and do all the things that we don't need to. Who says you need to do that? Do your kids care? Do your kids care that they didn't get a last day of school photo? Do your kids care that they had to stay after school and do like a kids campus while some kids, I don't know, went rock climbing or did a special dinner? Probably not. So you don't need to feel guilty about it. Do your kids care that they didn't get to pick out a present on the last day of school or X, Y, and Z? You know, sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves when really our kids wouldn't care or think anything else or see anything differently. It's us as adults who are seeing what other kids are doing. And they might hear it, but they're not really seeing it and being shown in their face because likely they don't have social media or ways to see this. And really, they probably don't care because what matters to most kids is just time with their parents or with their family or with people they love. That's what matters. And the parent's presence in that moment, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not presence like gifts, but their actual presence. I think that sometimes we've gotten so concerned with wanting to give our child the perfect parent and the perfect childhood that we forget that they already naturally have that. We are the perfect parents for our kids already without having to do anything more. And we could royally screw up and our kids would still love us, just like our kids can royally screw up and we still love them. So don't forget in the rush of life that you are already the perfect parent for your kid and they're already having the perfect childhood because they have a loving parent. And sometimes we're doing too much. And so I just wanted to remind you that if you're feeling like, oh, I'm not giving my kid a bucket list summer, they don't need that. We think that they're going to want that because we see some kids who are having that. And sure, if you give a kid a bucket list summer, they're going to love it. I'm like, sure, they're going to love anything. But they'll also love digging for worms in the backyard with you or running through the sprinklers with you. You know, it doesn't have to be these elaborate outings and things for them to feel loved and special and to have a great time. I think it's us as adults who are seeing what's going on and what other parents are giving their kids in an attempt to keep up. And so we think that we need to do that when really, like, ask your kids, like, sit down with them. What do they want to do this summer? It's probably pretty simple, or it's probably, can you take off work? Can you come up a little early and can we just like play? I really just want to play with you. I really just want to spend time with you. Honestly, those are my kids' favorite memories and favorite things to do are just like one-on-ones and the simple little things. And it's the feelings and the slow mornings and that time together. The like when we're just sitting on the driveway, on the concrete, like that's their favorite part of the day. We don't need to do all these other things. And then we burn ourselves out or we, you know, stretch our budget and our finances. I feel like we're doing too much and we're forgetting that we're already the perfect parents, giving our kids a perfect childhood. Childhood is meant to just play and explore and be simple. And sometimes I think that we complicate things too much, put too much pressure on ourselves, and then feel guilty when we don't reach these high expectations that society and we have for ourselves. We don't have to do that much to have our child, to let our child know how much we love them. And to give them a wonderful childhood because all they need is a parent who loves them truly. That's all they need. And I know that you love them because you're listening and you're trying to learn and you are trying to grow and you're trying to keep up and you're trying to give them everything maybe you never had or everything you did have and you want them to have too. Like I know that you love them, but you can love yourself too and you don't need to put that much pressure on you. So this is a reminder as I head into summer. I'm not sure when you'll be listening to this, but just enjoy, slow down, take it in. There's no rush. We don't need to have this bucket list summer. We don't need to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on elaborate events or vacations or whatever. Your kids are going to love if you put a tent with a stick and a swim towel up and you guys sit under it and tell a story. They will love that as much as a trip to Greece. I can promise you that. So we don't have to overcomplicate things. And we don't want to put so much pressure on ourselves that we feel guilty. So this is my reminder for you as you head into summer or whatever season it is as you're listening to this now, that you are already enough. And don't be so hard on yourself. They know you love them. And that's all that matters. So I hope this was helpful. If there's anything else you want to hear or share, please comment below or find us on social media. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon.